polygraph and code word access to the relevant program, then it was cryptic speak or nothing at all. Leland Babbitt had been in this game too damn long to rely on the professional discretion of a fucking limo driver. 1. The Lincoln squealed through a hard left turn, drifting in the slick intersection awash in the glow of headlights from angry oncoming traffic. It raced up Crescent Place and then passed a small, unlit sign that read Townsend Government Services. After squeezing through electronically operated iron gates still in the process of opening, it rolled up a winding driveway lined with bare cherry trees to a huge peach-hued brick mansion bathed in floodlights. Lee Babbitt climbed out of the Lincoln without a word to the driver and ran through the cold rain up the stone steps of the residence, passing through a door held open by a lean man in a sport coat. In the round marble foyer of the building, two more young men with military haircuts and civilian clothing stood with Heckler & Koch automatic weapons hanging from slings over their shoulders. Before anyone spoke, a man in his late 30s, some decade younger than Babbitt, came rushing up a long hallway that led to the rear of the building. He wore a cardigan sweater and corduroy slacks, and an assortment of card keys and laminated badges bounced on his chest from a chain around his neck. Babbitt met the younger man in the middle foyer, and his voice echoed off marble.
"It's happening?"
"It's happening,"
the man in the cardigan confirmed.
"The assault is underway?"
"Infiltrating to target as we speak."
"One man? One man is going to hit that fucking fortress?"
"Yes, sir."
"And it's him? It's our boy?"
Jeff Parks took his boss by the arm and quickly ushered him back up the hall.
"We think so."
"You'll have to do better than that," Babbitt said.
While he walked, he unfastened his bow tie and opened the top button on his shirt, freeing his thick neck.
"There is more than one motherfucker out there who wants to stick a knife into the neck of Gregor Sidorenko."
The long hallway was trimmed with stained cherry, and the tastefully lit walls were adorned with fine art of the American West. There were Russell watercolors of cowboys on a cattle drive, regal George Catlin portraits of Native Americans, and a pair of Frederick Remington desertscapes worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, as well as a Remington bronzed buffalo statue on a side table lit by antler lamps. As they rushed up the corridor, Babbitt pulled off his damp jacket and slung it over his arm. He asked,
"How did we pick him up?"
"One of the UAVs was up on a calibration flight. No one expected activity tonight. It's Saturday. A party was in full swing at the target location until about an hour ago, which put three times the number of personnel on scene as normal. Plus, the weather's shit, and the next illumination cycle isn't for 2 days."
"Right."
"The Scan Eagle pilot spotted movement a half mile off the coast. We tracked the signature for less than a minute before determining we were most likely looking at a singleton attack on Sid's property."
"Speedboat?"
"Negative."
"Scuba?"
"That water must be less than 40 to—" "He's not swimming."
"Then how?"
Parks stopped at a door and looked up to his boss with a grin.
"You need to see this shit for yourself."
Parks scanned a card from his chain through a reader next to a heavy oaken door, then opened the door to reveal a staircase. He followed his boss down, the older man's patent leather shoes echoing in the stairwell. At the base of the stairs was another corridor. This one went back in the opposite direction, and it was, in contrast to the hallway above, narrow, dimly lit, and utilitarian, though its walls were also adorned. As the two men hurried up the hall, they passed several lighted shadow boxes of differing size. Inside the first ones were tint types and wet plate prints of severe, bearded men in black coats and top hats, hefting shotguns and standing alongside caskets propped up. Dead men inside pine boxes, looking back at the photographer, with eyes covered with coins. With these photos were mounted artifacts of the Old West, faded telegrams, single-action revolvers, stirrups and handcuffs, even a man's dress shirt, torn and stained with old black blood. Babbitt and Parks ignored the shadow boxes as they walked. They'd passed them countless times.
"So we have no assets in place?" Babbitt asked.
"I established comms with Trestle Actual. Told him he had 20 mics to assemble his boys and kit up. They are 30 miles away in St. Pete on R&R, but no worries. The UAV will track the target through the exfil. We found him."
A satisfied smile.
"We'll get him."
A display containing a costume beard and wads of Deutschmarks taken from a captured Serbian war criminal was on their left now, and on their right, a photograph of two men with wide smiles and